The Wauk City Council will come to order. The clerk will call the roll. Here.
Here.
Councilman Howe, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Having a little technical difficulty with this. I think we'll dispense with the what's that? Well, I don't have the voice. Is there somebody that has a voice that would like to come up and say? Hell. Thank you. What's the matter? You can't. Yeah. So, if we could all be seated, and the first item on the agenda is the school department. And before we get started on the school department, I thought it'd be helpful, since we're still talking about last year's budget, and it was a unique year in that the school department had filed a Carullo action, and I don't remember a Carullo action ever being filed. The city and the city council were faced with a unique issue, which is what is the outcome of a Carullo action? Did we fund schools properly in accordance with state law? And we all remember that a mediator met with us, and we actually started talking to the school department in the fall, and we went into mediation in the spring, I'd say around February, and we agreed that it would be binding mediation arbitration. And we all recall what the decision of the binding mediator and arbitrator was. And there's been a lot of talk about pension plans, and one pension plan in particular, as if that was the only subject that was on the table. We can also recall that not one member of the council is an accountant, and not one member of the council is an auditor. So we all thought that it was best that we hire outside help to look at this in an objective manner to give us opinions as to what is accurate and what is not accurate. I would do the same thing in my law practice when we have different issues that come before us as attorneys. We rely on different individuals, whether they be doctors, accountants, real estate professionals, And those are the people that actually come to court and to testify, to get to the truth of what's happening, to get to the bottom line. One of those individuals that we hired is here tonight, and before the school department gets up to speak, I thought if Kyle, if you could come to the mic and introduce yourself. And you can pull that right out if you want. And you have to kind of talk very close to it, okay? And just introduce yourself for the record. And I think you have to wait till the red light comes on, so you have to hold the button at the bottom until the red light comes on in the front.
Great.
And you got to speak very close to it.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you if you put it close. Just introduce yourself for the record.
Sure. My name is Kyle Connors. I'm a director at Markham LLP. I'm a CPA in both Massachusetts and in Rhode Island.
Okay. And have you done these types of audits, if you will, examinations in the past for other cities and towns?
Yes. My primary focus during my career has been working with municipalities, as I said, in both Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Working with Woonsocket, Cumberland, Lincoln, Middletown, Little Compton, Tiverton, Block Island, both Bristol and Bristol Warren School District.
Okay, and what about Massachusetts also?
Correct. Predominantly in Taunton, also in Attleboro, New Bedford, and Fall River.
Thank you. So you had asked as part of, were asked by the city as part of this Carullo action to look at this year's budget, were you not?
Correct.
Okay. And could you kind of talk to us about what your findings were with regard to individual line items in particular?
Certainly.
And how you arrived at those numbers?
Certainly. So I was presented with information from the school department stating that they needed an additional $4.63 million in order to close out fiscal 19. I then went through and compared the year-to-date budget and actual information as of March 28th, 2019.
So basically you looked at a snapshot in time of 9 months of last fiscal year to determine or project out what the next 3 months would hold and what the individual line items would look at the end of the year. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And did you take a conservative approach when you looked at those numbers?
Absolutely.
And what do you mean by a conservative approach?
When we're looking at line items, and I'll go through them, but an area like vacation, we projected vacation by looking at the previous 9 months and then assuming that the next three would work at the same rate that the previous nine did. However, April had a week of vacation, and June was not a full month. So we still projected a full month's cost for those 2 months.
So what you're saying is, even though there was vacation time in April and the school year ended halfway through the month of June, you assumed it as if it was a full month's worth of pay.
That's correct.
Okay. And can you just run through a few of the line items for us and let us know what those determinations were?
Absolutely. The first line item would be a revenue line item. Correct.
Okay.
This is for state housing aid of $257,000 that should be recorded as revenue by the school department that had not been.
So you're projecting at the end of this year, or you had projected at the end of this year, that the school department would not be showing revenue of $257,000. Is that right?
They should have an additional.
I'm sure they would. They should have an additional line item.
That's correct.
Of 257. Okay, continue. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. Line of items for vacation, substitute and curriculum development salaries, and regular overtime. As I stated, we anticipated those would be full months in April, May, and June, even though April and June are not full months. We anticipated savings of $52,000 in vacation, $215,000 in substitute and curriculum development salaries, and $50,000 in regular overtime.
Thank you. What else did you examine?
We also examined the fringe benefits, the school department's private pension plan. As of March 28th, 2019, they had spent $1.2 million out of the $1.8 that had been budgeted. We anticipated that the remaining $600,000 that had not been sent into that plan would not be, as it should not be. There was also an additional $200,000 in that plan that was being funded over the actuary's required contribution of $1 million. So they put in 1.2. The actuary stated they only needed to put in $1 million. So we felt as though they were overfunding it by $200,000.
So I know that that's been the subject of many news articles and reports. Could you tell us what you found trend-wise? And we're just talking about fringe benefits. We're not talking about the income that you've already identified. And we're not talking about savings from vacation or substitutes, et cetera. What did you find out about fringe benefits in those line items for a 4 or 5 year period?
Specifically speaking to the private pension plan?
Yes.
We noted that since 2014, which is when the GASB standards 67 and 68 were implemented, that the plan had been overfunded by about $4.1 million over the actuarial required contribution.
So what you're saying is if an actuarial firm, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if an actuarial firm said that the minimum required contribution, I think they were saying was around $1 million, the maximum contribution being $1.2 million.
Correct.
There were some years there were over $2 million worth of contributions.
Correct.
So $800,000 more than what the maximum recommended contribution of the actuary was. Is that right?
I don't know if in the back of their financial statements, if the arc that was included was the maximum or the minimum.
Okay. But it was over.
But it was certainly over the minimum, and it was also over the maximum. It just doesn't require you to include both in the supplementary information.
Okay. And this was, I know that you had looked through their budget, but this was also during a time when bathrooms weren't being cleaned, and they were being cleaned every other day. You recall that testimony at those hearings?
Are you talking about fiscal year 18?
Yes.
Yes, that plan was funded at $1.8 million in fiscal year 18 with a required arc of, I want to say, $1 million.
Okay. So let's continue to move on. What other items are you projected savings in the school department for this fiscal year?
For fiscal year 19, we also anticipated savings in professional development of $46,000, conferences and workshops of $58,000, other services, which includes rubbish disposal, pest control, maintenance and repairs, and fixtures of $30,000, equipment specifically related to non-student transportation vehicles and HVAC of $137,000, and transportation, an additional $287,000 on top of what the school department was already anticipating they were saving of $150,000.
Okay, and if you could continue on?
Certainly. Under supplies and materials, we anticipated that there would be savings of $222,000 in supplies and materials that relates to general, athletic, and medical supplies. Gasoline savings of $56,000, diesel fuel savings of $65,000, textbooks, library books, reference books, and periodicals savings of $151,000.
Could I stop you there for a second?
Certainly. So
could you talk to me about that one, textbook savings of $151,000?
In March 2019, there was a freeze put on those specific accounts. We felt as though, considering we were already in April at the time, and we're working off of March data, there wouldn't be a need to purchase textbooks.
You mean textbooks there wouldn't be a need to purchase $151,000 worth of textbooks or other books?
Correct.
After, because there's only 2 or 3 months left in the school year,
correct,
assuming the kids probably already had textbooks.
Correct. We did account for some spending in those line items, so it wouldn't be zero as things do come up, but we weren't anticipating that they would work similarly over the previous 9 months as we did with salaries.
Okay. And then could you continue on with what your analysis was for us?
Sure. I also felt that there would be savings in technology-related supplies of $41,000. As it relates to capital equipment, we were anticipating savings of $262,000 in building improvements, $43,000 in equipment, $63,000 in furniture and fixtures, $164,000 in technology-related hardware, and $87,000 worth of savings in technology software.
Okay. And so with the unreported revenue that you found, and then also the savings that you're anticipating in these line items, what was your amount that you saw as a total in between income and savings?
We felt as though there would be roughly a savings roughly of $3.5 million combined in all of those line items.
For this fiscal year?
For fiscal year 19.
Okay. And you also recall that you were in the room when we discussed these issues with the mediator and the arbitrator, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And representations were made about how the school department may or may not fund different issues before the arbitrator made a decision, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And one of the ideas that was floated was to take out money from a pension fund, correct?
Correct.
All right. And at that time, the school administration said they had done that. Was that your recollection?
Correct.
And when they said they had done that, did they say there was any penalty associated with withdrawing funds for that?
I believe he stated that there would not be any penalties.
And they had done that in the past?
And that they had done that in the past. Okay. That's correct.
And as you recall, the mediator's decision, after looking at $3.5 million and looking at $4.2 million over the last several years in overfunded pensions, the mediator's decision was that the school department didn't need any additional funds. The mediator's binding decision was that they didn't need any additional funds, but the mediator didn't mandate whether they chose to get it from this list or pension fund, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, it was an old saying that my dad used to say many years ago, the lies are halfway around the world before the truth gets their shoes on. Okay? And so I just wanted to correct the record, since everybody, you know, the internet's wonderful when you get one side of the story, but thank God when you go to a criminal trial, you get two sides of the story. And it's always helpful when you get both sides of an issue in a story. And I hope that everybody understands some of the process that this administration and this council went through to arrive at the fact that when we started that process last year, I believe it was 8 million, 7 million, sometimes 6 million, 5 million, now I think it's at 4.1 million. It makes it very difficult, and I'm not going to speak for any members on this council or for the administration. I'll speak for myself. It makes it very difficult for me to make determinations based on facts when I get reports like this, which I believe is fair and objective and a conservative approach that you did, compared to what's being told to me at the beginning of the year. Especially when I get calls from parents, when I get calls from teachers saying, or other staff, saying that they're getting laid off, that my child's bathroom is being washed every other day, that my kid has gotten strep throat several times this year, okay? And they want to know what I'm doing about it. Makes it very frustrating to look at this and then to have a frank conversation with everybody that's advocating this year for another $8 or $9 million. And what I'd like to point out, and I think that you and I have talked about this in the past, is that this just looks at the numbers. This doesn't look at whether the hiring of administrative staff is justified. It doesn't look at what hirings are needed or what programs are needed pursuant to state law. That's not what this does. What I do as a councilman is I try and look at big picture numbers to get an idea of where we are as a school system. I went to the school system. I went to Cedar Hill. I went to Windman. I went to Tollgate. I think Tollgate at the time was ranked one of the fourth highest high schools in the state of Rhode Island. And I'm proud of being a product of Warwick Schools. What I'm upset about is that I'm put in a position where I have to be a judge of the veracity and credibility and truthfulness of statements. When I ran for office, I really didn't anticipate that. But that's the position that all of us are in. We have to determine who's telling us what and what is accurate and what isn't. And no matter what side we choose, it's always the wrong side, depending on who's on the other side. But those are the tough decisions that we need to make. There are other issues that we can go on about that were talked about in mediation, representations that were made. I can tell you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when we walked out of that meeting, was there anybody in that room on the school department side or on the city side that didn't agree on the outcome of that mediation? From what you heard,
it felt as though everyone was in agreement.
Everyone was in agreement. Everybody is going to have an opportunity to speak at the appropriate time. There's not one person that's not going to get an opportunity to speak. Thank you for your presentation, Kyle. It's nice to be in a forum where we can actually discuss numbers, facts, and the truth, instead of trying to defend yourself on social media because somebody gets a hold of a blog and thinks they were in the room. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can be seated. If the school department could come up and give their presentation, what I'd like to say is I haven't seen what we discussed as far as what your anticipated savings were in these individual line items. And I recognize that you're going to have a presentation, and I would suggest you go forward with your presentation. But at the appropriate time, I'd like to know what the savings are going to be in all these line items that were identified. I appreciate it. Thank you. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Sure. Philip Thornton, Superintendent of the Schools in Warwick. Council President Marola, Mayor Solomon, City Council members.
You got to speak really close.
Council President Marola, Mayor Solomon, City Council members. Today, the school department is in front of this body with a request of $7.7 million in increased support for next year. This is a large budget ask. And it's not a budget ask that has appeared overnight. Rather, it is the result of near-level funding since 2010. In 2010, city aid to schools was 123,968,068. In the 18-19 school year, aid to schools is 123,982,464. The difference, $14,000 over that period of time. State aid to schools over the same period has gone from 31,261,608 in 2010 to a projected number of 38,477,965 in 1920. The increase in state aid has helped offset increased contractual costs medical costs, and pension, to certainly name a few. Over several years, the district has closed schools, reduced staff, and made needed improvements. Over the past few years, we have closed one high school, two junior highs, and three elementary schools. In 2010, we had 1,038 teachers. We now have 880 teachers. In 2010, we had 439 WISE members. We now have 371 WISE members. In 2010, we had 63 administrators. We now have 57.5 administrators. During the same period, we also put in full-day kindergarten. We also made the transition, one of the last to do so in Rhode Island, in going to the middle school model, bringing grade 6 students up to the middle level, making needed improvements for their education, including science every day of the week for the first time in Warwick. And so, as this fiscal year nears an end, we are projecting, as you know, to finish with a large budget deficit. If the level-funded mayor's budget before us is enacted, the school committee will need to look at a series of budget reductions totaling $7.7 million, which will harm the district. I don't say this to be an alarmist, but rather to simply point out the brutal facts of the matter. And now I would turn it over to Mr. Ferrucci to give you the breakout of what exactly constitutes the $7.7 million ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. Council President Marola, good evening.
Yes.
Members of the City Council, good evening. Mayor and my fellow colleagues and school committee members, good evening. This is my ninth budget presentation, and I'm honored to be here. I know we have some challenges in front of us. I think we all acknowledge that. The primary focus of all of us in this room is to do what's right for the students on our behalf for the city of Warwick. I'm going to take you through our FY20 budget process. What we ended up doing since back in March and early April when the budget was coming together and not having a resolution for 2019, we started off by looking at what the approved original budget was as of July 2018, and that is our baseline in which I'll be reporting against. We're not factoring in any specific carryover issues from this year into next year at this time. So if I compare a particular line that needs to be increased, as an example, before I dive into it for folks to understand, school department last August cut tuitions for Pathways, anticipating a variance potential from the Rhode Island Department of Education. We had evidence that we were paying $1.1 to $1.2 million a year for students to leave our district. We petitioned that Pathways would be exempted from those tuition bills and that we budgeted only $399,000 worth of tuition costs for those non-Pathway schools in order to have an original budget that was balanced on last year's allocation. We then received the variance denial from RIDE in September. We went public in November that issue was before us. The school committee stood fast that they weren't going to pay the bill because we didn't have the money to pay it. And then the communities affected petitioned RIDE, which is the Rhode Island Department of Education, and they withheld our state aid in order to pay those communities. So clearly, an attempt not to pay a bill that we had in dispute was resolved by taking our revenue. So going into next year, we will budget what we have for projected students. And so that one particular line will show a significant increase year over year from original budget, but understanding that factor as to why that budget line item was what it was at, will be our impact for next year. So I'm not factoring any resolution from this year into the conversation. One other item. I prepared on behalf of the school committee an economic impact statement at the conclusion of both the labor negotiations. The WISE union is our employees and the WTU is our teacher employees. Between the two union groups, when I presented those economic impacts, we projected salary increases alone a little over $4 million. That was known back in 2017. You'll see in this evening's presentation that those projections are coming through true to form. So knowing we had these issues in front of us and having a new school committee because I was fortunate to work with a school committee that had been elected for a number of years, and they had a routine when it came to budget. But with three new members joining the school committee, we did something unique. In the February 14th, 2019 school committee meeting, we did a preliminary economic budget impact presentation, whereby we presented the budget numbers for different categories that were going to be most impacted by economic impacts that we were aware of at the time. And so using the original budget numbers, we projected the 3% pay raise for our WTU members and a 2.5% pay raise. And I bulleted with the school committee members what we could in fact envision and what the administration was struggling with. I used the example of tuitions in that exercise so that folks would understand how could you go from $399,000 to $1.5 million in 1 year. They needed to understand that it was a cut anticipating a variance that did not come into fruition, and so that would dramatically impact our need. April 25th, and during that presentation, I'm going to dive into the numbers with you folks, but during that presentation, the tally was $12 million of potential increase in costs. This was not even looking at revenue. Okay. April 22nd to the 24th, school committee held public hearings late into the night. April 25th, school committee adopted a budget that they considered their adopted recommended. That budget as adopted was $174,433,431. That was a total budget increase of $9.6 million. So from an economic impact statement of $12 million, administration came up with additional cuts and recommendations to get it down to 9.6. There is a restatement or a recapture or an increase in state aid. I stood before you last year and said we were surprised to learn that the state of Rhode Island reduced the pro rata share of the funding formula to the community, in which we lost $1.2 million. We went from 38% down to 36% in the ratio for the funding formula. This year, miraculously, it went back up to 38%, and so we recaptured about $1.1 million to $1.2 million. If the legislature can afford to fund state budget and fund the proposed state education budget, we would be looking at receiving that extra $1 million in state support. So as of April 25th, $8.5 million was going to be the need request before you, the City Council, this evening. Once that was completed, I prepared a 45-page to 49-page document, which the City Council and the Mayor's Office and City Finance are accustomed to receiving. Within that document, there's quite a bit of narrative explaining all the various impacts. It also provides our staffing patterns. It also provides a UCOA formatted budget that has line by line. It provides 3-year trends so we can analyze whether we are off track from the three previous years. The three previous years are all audited by the city auditors who come in and validate the validity of our data. So we use trend analysis to determine if we're really going off tracks on any particular line. All that data has been available since April, I believe was April 29th when it was sent to the city. On May 21st, the school committee reconsidered amending the budget for the first time that I've been here. And at issue, and this is a document that was sent over to City Hall on May 23rd, at issue was the fact that we received actuarial reports in October as of data from the preceding June that would affect that particular school year. In that report, there was minimum contributions being reported that we could go between $1 million and $1.2 million into the private pension that's administered by the school department. The budget is prepared in April, or this time of the year, so we won't know what FY19's number is until October 2019. And it will be for the next school year. So whatever we're presenting this evening as a pension contribution will not be validated until October 2019. So during that meeting, the investment committee that manages the investment portfolio and does the actuarial reviews was advised that there were a significant number of items that would impact future actuarial reports, and that the potential existed that they would have to take new, what they call, mortality tables. So in very simplistic layman's terms, if you built a need to pay somebody until they were 70 years old, you'd have a number. If somebody told you tomorrow they're going to live to 74 and you're going to pay for 4 more years, you'd now owe that person that much more money. Your unfunded liability would go up. And so they had informed us that we would expect a change forthcoming. So yes, we sustained the contribution levels to protect the pension plan from going into a negative position.
Mr. Fucci, is that the pension fund that's you were concerned about going into a negative position that's funded at 93%?
92%, I believe, is funding. That's correct.
And to date, you've received no such actuarial report stating that you need to give more money to that pension plan. Is that correct?
We won't have that until October.
Thank you.
So with that said, we brought the information back to the school committee at May 21st. They presented a copy of the actuarial report indicating that this year's contribution could be a minimum of $1 million to $1.2 million. They are recommended contributions, they're not required. It's not a maximum contribution, it's an alternative contribution based on the pay down of the unfunded debt. So with the school committee reviewing that level of detail, they were also provided an email from our actuaries indicating what they thought the projected increases may be, and it would be startling because for the last 5 years they were in fact showing actuarial contributions of $1 million to $1.3 million, $1.4 million. And now they were talking about needing to go upwards of close to $2 million, and they wanted to give us be prepared for it so we wouldn't be startled. Anyway, at the May 21st meeting, since we did contribute $1.8 million this year, and the contribution would rise to that level for next year, the school committee did, in fact, vote to amend the budget presentation this evening by reducing next year's contribution to the $1 million, which would equal this year. So the premise behind it is over a 2-year window that the pension should be in stable condition as long as other factors don't negatively impact it. So we did have an $800,000 cut in the recommended budget from April 25th through May 21st. Additionally, there were issues with seniors graduating with not having access to summer program for credit recovery. Our director of secondary ed came up with a program costing about $20,000 so that we could just take care of our seniors this summer. And that would then put all the rest of the students on notice that during the course of next school year, if you're struggling and may not make the grade for your senior year, that you take credit recovery during the course of the school year. Or more importantly, we hope that you stay involved in your classes and pass your classes on the front end rather than trying to make it up on the back end. So there's an accommodation. So those two items got pushed through. And again, those documents that were presented to the school committee were sent to the city, and you folks should have that. I'm not going to go into that level of detail this year. There's not anything significantly changing from this year to next year like we've experienced the last 4 or 5 years, where we had schools closing, we had consolidation, we had huge program changeovers, etc. So this evening, I'm going to try and give us the bullet points in which to comprehend what our struggle with is. And so what I'd like to do is quickly go through the document that's a three-page document, and I handed it out. I just want to make sure everybody's got the same document so we're following along. This was a handout that I brought this evening. It says May 28, 2019, FY20 school budget presentation, and I want to refer us to the third page. And I do have handouts here for this evening for anybody who'd like to follow along. Top of the page, it's an economic impact. And as I go for the columns across, salary description, et cetera, is the first column. Second column, FY2019 original budget. Column after that, during our presentation in February, I went over bullet points with the school committee, and we worked together on calculating these budgets. The third column is the tally of what we reported that evening on February 14th. At that point, we also indicated what the projected increase or decrease would be for that category. The grade areas on the report are what was presented in public, and we actually filled in real time the preliminary year end, the preliminary budget request for the following year, and whether it was an increase or decrease. To try and put some context, the next two columns are what's actually in the budget that's before us this evening, how much of an increase or decrease it is in comparison to the original budget, and also how much of an increase or decrease, which is the last column on the individual line, when compared to what our projected preliminary was back in February. It's quite a bit of detail here, but I think it's very powerful. So, to try and just read through it, salary, first line, all the way over to the right, the far column, last column, $4,314,487 is a total salary increase that's built into next year's budget. Not fringe benefits, just salary. How did we get there? Okay? The column just to the left of that says $4,143,000. Underneath that $4,143,000 is a tally of the various lines that I'm about to speak to. Professional Management Administration had a budget of $4.6 million for FY19. In February, we knew we cut the Building and Grounds Director's position, and we created a construction manager's position that was in accordance with RIDE to manage the $40 million worth of bond projects that are coming at us. We saved money by having it come in-house rather than paying RIDE 2.5% of our contracts to have them provide a construction manager. But for budget purposes this evening, we reduced our salary by $117,000 because that position is no longer paid for in the school operating budget. In February, we proposed a 3% pay raise to make the administration equal what the teacher's contract was, and so that cost increase. So a 117 cut and a 136 plus is how we came to a February projection of $4.6 million. We said in February admin was going to go up $18,700. What's in the budget? $4.46 million. Comparing that to our current operating budget for 19, administration is going down $195,000 compared to FY19 salary. There is no salary increase in the administration budget scheduled. The right-hand column where it says 214, that's how much we were below the February 14th projection. So I went on record saying I thought we needed 4.6. We actually have 4.4, so we're 214,000 less than what we were projecting. But the critical piece is we saved 195 off of current operations, our current operating budget. Now I can go a little quicker because you get the essence and the cadence. Mid-managers, current budget FY19 is 1,017,000. I projected 1.13. That was, we added an assistant operations manager and a 2.5% pay raise
to equal the Wise Union contract because those folks managed those staff. I projected a $95,000 increase. The budget has $1,086,000. We're $27,000 under what my preliminary projection was in February, but we're going up $68,000, and it is the assistant operations manager. School committee made the decision to increase the assistant operations manager, offsetting the cut in the buildings and grounds for an annual savings of about $50,000, so we achieved their target. WTU, $72,678,000 was in the budget for this year. It was included in that budget. We were attempting to cut a CTE teacher that special certified, so we could not make that cut, but that's part of the $72 million. We thought we were going to have to add $300,000 for grant staff because we thought they would be coming back to local. Our step increases are averaging $450,000, and a 3% pay raise is $2.2 million. All those numbers tallied up, we're projecting a budget for our WTU staff of $75.7 million. It was a $3 million increase. Our budget has $75 million. 036. It's a $2.3 million increase from current year. And on my right-hand side, no need to for the grant staff, so we didn't have to increase that. Step increases are actually 472, not 450. And the pay raises is 2.3 million, not 2.2. Those are the major bullets that make up the 2.357 increase in teacher salary. I also had not calculated breakage in. In our budget, we do have teacher breakage of $600,000, so that offsets to get us down to the 2.3. If I did not include the breakage, we would be staring at close to a $3 million increase. Classified staff, these are our hourly employees, $13.7 million in salary this year. We propose rehiring the 15 second shift custodians to the tune of $750,000. Their step increases are $75,000, and their contractual increase is 2.5% for another $363,000. $14.8 million is what we projected we were going to be looking at. The budget has $14.5 million, an $800,000 savings. And we achieved that by having our building department schedule our second shift custodians on 35-hour weeks, not 40, and so we were able to trim almost half of what the need was to get our second shift custodians back. They will be in every building every night. So we included it. Fund the pilot project. We have currently paid...
Sorry, Mr. Frugia, how much was that amount for to fund custodians every day?
It's about $380,000. We have run into situations with our building aides in our schools. They currently make minimum wage, and we're having a difficult time attracting competent staff, qualified staff, so we have many openings. And so we were talking about trying to get it to a living wage of $15, and then there was debate about $14, $13, and $12. We currently have in the budget of $12 or $12.50 per hour for our building aides, and we also have issues proposed for next year, and we also have issues not having enough bus monitors on our buses. Our vacancy rate is about 20-25%. If we have an issue where a monitor is supposed to be on a bus and we don't have a staff member to put on, we're liable, and so we're concerned about it. Again, we think by going to $12, we were going to be able to attract staff to those positions. So we had projected a need for the next year of $985,000. That was based at $15 an hour. We whittled it down to $864,000, and that's at that $12.50 an hour rate. So there's $200,000 to address a known issue. Things that weren't addressed publicly is the last portion of the first page. Subs for curriculum development, we have a budget of $23.6 this year. We're going to $114.6. There's an increase of $91,000. Classroom overages, we had a budget of $30,000. We're tracking on $50,000, so we're going to up 20. Class coverages is 100,000. We're tracking closer to 150,000, and so we're bumping at 50,000. District PD, we had no PD in August or in March. That's the contractual district-wide. We believe that we can do it for 220,000, but this year we had a budget of zero. So we're looking at first day in August and then one in March. That's a plus. And lastly, in order to have a balanced budget last year and not have to cut sports, the school committee put in other contingencies and salaries of $514,000 as a minus to try and make the budget work. Of course, I can't continue that. I already took $600,000 in breakage up top. So those were all adds that were known coming into the year, so those pieces add up, okay? In total, $5.5 million is what we were projecting with salary increases with all the staff that I've just identified. Fringe benefits, medical, current year budget is 15.7. The school committee's been advised time and time again, and over the last 2 to 3 years, the WB Health has been trying to maintain as low a level of increases, and with the back pressure that they received in the verbalization that there were $2 to $3 to $4 million worth of surplus there, they continue to reduce what the increases were over time. We ended last year with only a $700,000 fund balance at WB Health. And I've warned the school committee, and I've made these comments in this chambers before, that a 10% swing in a $22 million health insurance program potentially could happen. And so having a $3 or $4 million fund balance was an appropriate level of funding for that kind of potential liability. $700,000 fund balance, June 30th, 2018. $2.4 million operating deficit this year because of our claims and the types of claims that we're incurring. We now face a $1.7 million deficit in our health insurance program. I identified that in February, and that is one of the items that I've noted on this report showing that a premium hike due to performance, $1.6 million.
Mr. Fucci, you said you identified a $1.7 million deficit in healthcare in February?
No, that's recent.
Because I sat in on those meetings, Mr. Fucci, and you never said that you had a $1.7 million deficit in healthcare.
I provided them with a WB Health report indicating that, and during February 14th's meeting, when I got to this point about 1.6, I did refer them to the WB Health report that accompanied this report, sir. I also indicated that we were $588,000 of what we considered breakage, where we would reduce the actual number of premiums we were contributing that was not achieved. And then lastly, on $20 million worth of claims paid, a conservative 8% increase on claims, we were staring at about a $1.8 million on top of the 1.6. So in totality, we reported that we would need $19.8 million, about a $4 million increase. The current number in the budget is $19,046,000. It's a $3.2 million increase in health insurance.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Yes.
Mr. Fucci, for benefit of the members of the council as well as the members of the public, could you define breakage for us, please?
Sure. Breakage is the difference between a retiring teacher who may be 10th step, and it has various lanes if there's credentials that they have, etc. And then when they retire, because we're budgeting that person, we don't know who's retiring. When they retire, we hope to hire a first or a second step teacher, and the spread on that salary is about $40,000 a position. $20,000 to $30,000 is what I normally would budget. So I'm basically saying we're expecting 20 teachers to retire, and we hope to save $30,000 per position. That's the breakage that I'm referring to. Okay. So with health, it did come in less, about $785,000 than what I preliminary projected in February, but it's still a $3.2 million hit, And I did try to break out some pieces that were of interest to the school committee underneath the 3.2 to teach a co-share because their contract is fixed on a dollar value as opposed to 20% of premium. The hike that's going up is $309,000 the district's absorbing on their behalf. The 14% hike is $2.3 million. And then again, the breakage that wasn't achieved or retiring, so where we had to, again, the breakage on the health would be if a married retiree leaves, the family plan leaves, you hire a first step teacher that's not married, you end up with a single. And so we try and anticipate those kinds of savings on an annualized basis in the health fund as well.
So, Mr. Ferrucci, just so I'm clear, are you saying that you have a, in the fiscal year 2000, you mentioned a $3.2 million hit, and I know that's legalese, I guess, but when you say $3.2 million hit, is that in the 2018-2019 current fiscal year?
No, the $3.2 million is the increase from the operating budget of $15 million this year going into next school year is the $3.2 million that I'm referring to.
So when you said that you have in healthcare $785,000 in the plus, that's for this current fiscal year, 2018-2019.
It ended on June 30th, 2018, so that would be brought forward into this fiscal year, 2018-2019, that's correct. And as of March, we were tracking about just about $2 million in a deficit position for the operations for the year. So that $2 million against the $700,000 in surplus will end the year about 1.2 with 3 months more to go.
So, sorry to interrupt you again, but a minute ago you said $1.7 million. You used the phrase $1.7 million. Now you're using $2 million. So it's a $2 million or $1.7?
Operationally, it's a $2 million, but the expectation of us having to send money to WB Health would be after the fund balance is reduced from it.
So is it 1.7 or $2
million? 1.6 is what's in the budget right now, sir.
So
I'm carrying.
What are you short? How much are you short? What are you anticipating that you're going to be short at the end of this year? Because when you started this, you said 1.7, now you just said 1.6, and I hear 2 million. This is part of the problem. I mean, in order for this council to add up the numbers, we need to know how much you're going to be short for this year.
We budgeted 1.6 for next year. That's the recapture of the shortfall. What I don't know is the claims that will be processed beginning in April, May, and June. We still have 3 months more in front of us. If the sicknesses and the types of claims that came through in the first 9 months subside, we potentially could have positive gains for the last 3 months. I won't know that until the end of June. That's why I budgeted 1.6 based on where we were. It's not a straight line when it comes to claims. If somebody got diagnosed with a severe issue and had $1 million worth of diagnostics and medical procedures that began in October, it could end by the end of March, and all of a sudden that would substantially drop our claims for April, May, and June. So that's why I'm going to focus on budget. What's in budget is 1.6 to cover that shortfall once we find out what it finds out to be at the end of the
year. So you have in your current budget $1.6 million to cover any shortfalls?
In next year's budget request.
Next year's budget request.
That's correct.
Are you anticipating, I'm talking about this year, are you anticipating any shortfalls in healthcare for this year's 2018-2019 budget?
It has nothing to do with the relationship with WB Health. Under our current arrangement, we pay a fixed premium through the end of June. So the performance of the fund does not affect what we have to contribute for this year. The only issue I had on the table for this year was the lack of not making breakage of $580,000.
So I think what you just said is you're not anticipating a deficit because you or the way that you're structured to pay with WB for this year, 2018-2019?
We will not have to take more school operating dollars and send it to WB at the end of the year.
That's so we're not short 1.2, 1.6, or 2 million, these numbers that are floating around for this year.
Correct.
Thank you. Yes. Continue.
Okay. Mr. President.
Yes, Councilman.
Mr. Ferrucci, in the plan, the health care plan that the school department has, don't you also have with WB a line item called stop loss coverage?
Yes.
And of course that's something that the taxpayers are paying for, correct?
It's part of the premium contribution,
right.
That's correct.
And how much does that stop loss coverage cost us?
Off the top of my head, I don't recollect. I know you had a health insurance consultant review all those bids recently. I believe they had that type of information.
Yeah, but right now, Mr. Ferrucci, I'm asking you.
I don't have the information off the top of my head, sir. I'm sorry.
Also, this stop-loss coverage, this is to protect the plan for catastrophic illnesses, losses, et cetera, right?
To a certain level, yes. It's a stop-loss program.
Okay.
So the districts are vulnerable for the first portion of it. Once it reaches that plateau, then it goes into the stop-loss pool in which you're referring to. If it exceeds the $1 million of that pool, then it goes into a second pool. And if it exceeds that one, the claims do come back to the municipality or the school department. And I'm aware of at least two claims. Don't know who the people are. It doesn't matter to me. But they have gone through both cycles of stop-loss, and those claims have come back to us. So there is protection, but it's not 100%.
So in addition to the stop-loss coverage that we have, you also include in your budget your own projection for technically another stop-loss coverage. Is that correct? You put monies in the budget to cover something beyond what the stop-loss coverage pays for. I think that's what you just said.
We get a premium value from WB Health. It's a fixed premium, and those are the funds that we pay on, whether it's a family plan or an individual. The amount of stop-loss used in any given year is not impacted within the course of the year that we start the premium at. So their calculation of what next year's premium is predicated on these underlying factors that you're referring to.
Thank you.